Dave Moore on Today FM.
Now, sitting opposite me is a man you'll have seen on Ultimate Hell Week and now Uncharted with Ray Goggins. Hopefully you won't have seen him in the field, or if you are, maybe you won't be able to listen to tell us about it. Ray Goggins, good morning.
Dave, great to be here again.
Great to have you. Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while. It's been a couple of years now, yeah.
Yeah, come here. Uncharted is an unbelievable success, first of all. People absolutely loving this show. But it reveals a little bit of a different side to you, do you not think? You know, that's like...
Yeah, definitely. Because, look, in this one, it's different because I'm not the one dictating the pace to a certain extent. I'm kind of in the team, embedded.
Yeah.
So you have to get on with people, like.
Whereas when people know you from, say, Ultimate Hell Week, obviously that is, I guess, inverted commas, Sergeant Major, as the kind of traditional thing.
It is the brutal
scenario.
They don't come up to speed, they're gone.
Gone.
That's
it. Yeah.
This is different.
This is very different. So you've taken... Celebrities put them in very demanding circumstances, but you're there with them. Whereas, even though, listen, if you needed to run a 5K up a mountain with a bag on your back with someone in Ultimate Hell Week, it would be done. But you guys had that kind of thing of like pulling up in Land Rovers or whatever and going, right now you have to do this. Whereas on this, with you being involved in whatever they're going through as well, although you are holding their hand, you're also going through it. Like, for example, the kneecap episode. In fact, one of the first questions we got in from Colin, one of our listeners, was ask Ray how the fingers are after the thing. Because, yeah. I mean, two of your fingers did get particularly cold and we were probably close to frostbite, were you?
Yeah, it was probably frostbite light. They recovered quite well. Like, the only thing about them, like, my fingerprint is kind of wonky since, so I could become a cat burglar now.
There you go.
Yeah, but
Jason,
like,
Bourne could have done with that. Just maybe, freeze his fingers a little bit. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so every cloud.
When you have somebody like Kneecap, right, who are a bunch of young Hellraisers, and you're asking them to do so, if anyone hasn't seen the episode with Kneecap, it is trekking across the Arctic Circle up in Finland, and you know there's no kind of quarter given. You're putting the, what are they called, pokes? Is that what's on their back?
A poke, yeah.
A poke, yeah. So you're basically dragging that in the way you would traditionally in your head think of a dog dragging a sled. You're effectively doing that. You're skiing across the land. You're putting up your tent in huge winds, minus 20, minus 30, whatever it is. But when you're, you know, when you're set up with someone like that versus, for example, the episode that's coming out tomorrow that I haven't quite seen yet, but... You know, Galway hurler Joe Canning, track and field star Thomas Barr. These are fit, strong athletes. And listen, I've seen Kneecap with their tops off. I'm not saying they're not fit and strong lads, but they're also Hellraisers and they're young fellas and they're rock stars and they're movie stars and they're living a different life than these kinds of guys. Do you find that previous experience or lifestyle or discipline or any of those things comes into play? Or is everyone, what's that Mike Tyson thing, everyone has a plan till they're punched in the face. Everyone's out of their depth.
Yeah, everyone's out of your depth to a certain extent. And yeah, it's good to be kind of pre-prepared and fitness always helps. But like, you look at Kneecap, for example, like they're very focused. Yeah, they're given that kind of example of being party guys and hellraisers. But they're very focused individuals. Like when they want to do something, they're very professional when you get them in the zone.
Right.
And they'll do their job. So like, I actually had that concern. I wasn't sure that these fellas be acting the mag and out for a week. No, they were to a certain extent, but they actually did their job and they worked hard. Like,
I really thought you guys connected. I thought that there was like a genuine, I mean, I suppose you can't go through something like that being in those scenarios, you know, body heat, sleeping, you know, in tents and then building your own igloo and sleeping there and stuff. Like, you kind of have to, but at the same time, you really did seem to connect with the three of them. And that, just three people, that in itself can be a challenge.
Yeah, it can be, like, because look, we've all worked with people we don't like. And to be honest, the three of the guys, I liked the three of them individually and as a group. Even different, their dynamic is like unusual, you know. It was actually like being back in the military because the slagging you get is
okay,
just, like,
so that's part of
intense, yeah, right. Which I loved,
yeah.
And like they were up for it, they were easy to get on with because you know you can have fun with them, they want to have fun, they'll mess, but like they're quite serious then as well when it comes down to it,
right?
And like, when it comes down to doing the, you know, the treacherous and dangerous stuff, they'll pay attention.
In your days as a ranger and all the things that you've done, like. You know, everything is different, difficult for its own reason. For example, cold, wind, like these things are a huge factor when you're up in the Arctic Circle. If you're in a jungle scenario, it's humidity, it's heat, it's potentially what's in the jungle. If you're in an urban scenario, it's the busyness and the people and the who's around the corner. What's the most difficult terrain or scenario you think you could find yourself in or have found yourself in?
There's probably been a few, but I suppose just to kind of generalise it, like hard environment creates hard people.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Yeah. So like even in training, in the military in particular, they'll put that in any way they can. Any way they can make hardship for you, whether it's sleeping, lack of it, eating cold, all that stuff. And then it creates your mindset to deal with that hardship. So regardless of your environment and where you go to, you can blend into it. So like,
gotcha.
You know, each different location, obviously Arctic is colder, jungle is all these nasty things, humidity, all the stuff you have to deal with. So like, it just gets you ready for it, that you have a framework as opposed to a particular idea for an area. You have a framework right. that you can put over wherever you are and your situation, and that's how it works.
And does locality offer others, when you kind of come into an alien environment, offer others a huge advantage? If you've grown up in the icy tundra, if you've grown up in the Bornean jungle.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But like, even for example, like, you know, the one with Aisling and Ellen, you know, on the mountain, for example, like, you know, me and altitude don't work. I didn't know that until I did that.
So you did that, right.
And we had guides who were like, they might have been walking on like a travelator in the airport, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, not a bother, this guy's nearly having a smoke next to you walking up the mountain.
It's wild, isn't it? Yeah.
Because they're just acclimatized and used to
it. Yeah. Yeah, no, and
environment.
People who've done, for example, Kilimanjaro talk about that all the time, that, you know, there's points where they're literally trotting maybe one step every 5 or 10 seconds as the guides with the bags on the back, the tents, everything. They're going up and down and back up the mountain in the time that's taken them to just plod along. It is wild, isn't it?
But it's down to, like, you know, specific training for what you do for environments as well. Mm. You know, because, like, obviously back in the Ranger Wing days, you're a jack of all trades, because your theatre where you have to operate could be anywhere.
Yeah.
So you have to have a good bit of knowledge of everything. But then before deployment in a particular area, then you train specifically
for that.
What you're going to meet or what tactics going to use, okay. all that kind of stuff. So.
Uncharted is what you're doing right now. It's obviously a huge success. People will definitely have soft spots for Ultimate Hell Week, as in they didn't have to do it. They could watch other people going through Ultimate Hell Week. Like choosing your own children or whatever. But like, were there things about Ultimate Hell Week that you preferred over Uncharted? Things about Uncharted you preferred over Ultimate Hell Week? Where does the difference sit for you?
Like, what I love about Hell Week is how visceral it is. Like, it's just unforgiving, you know. And I can be a very simple character, and you're just straight down the middle. There's a line you walk, and that's it. And that's very kind of, it's actually easy to do.
Gotcha.
You know, you can be a bad man.
Yeah.
But on the other side of it then, in Uncharted, you know, you connect with a team and you connect with people, which was different for me and a bit of a challenge, but I enjoyed it because, look, back in the military days even, that whole training, like, you know, Hell Week mirrors our selection process. But once guys are in your unit then, you don't treat them like that all the time.
Okay, so Uncharted is maybe a bit more like that then.
That's what it's like for real then. When you're in the teams, you know, you're working with a 6-man team, you're living together. It's like, you're having to crack, like.
Okay,
you
that's
know, you're like
really
brothers, that's how it works, you know what I mean? So you're having that, even if you are the boss.
Sure.
You
know, it's all different now. Yeah. Right, do you ever go to the producers of these shows and go, here, lads, as you said, you didn't know you didn't work at altitude. Like, you mightn't go, I don't like water. Like, I mean, I know you did.
No, I do like water.
Diving and all that kind of stuff. Water's your thing, but as an example, I suppose. But, like, are those conversations going, I don't want to make me look like an idiot?
And they are and they're not. Like, I get a kind of a rough idea of what's going on for this one, of the general plan initially, and then that's it, because the fact that I'm embedded in the team, it's not fair me knowing everything. So
fair.
Like,
right.
I need to be kind of stretched a bit too, you know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, okay.
Otherwise you don't get on with people.
All right, that's fair. Okay, there's loads of questions in on 087-4100-102. Adrian and Leash has got a good one, actually. Dave, can you ask, right, after they've completed the treks in Uncharted, do they have to trek all the way back to the original starting spot, or do you get picked up?
No, once we get to the end, we can either vehicle them back, or we have a different area where we're going to, like, because once they get to the end point, they're done.
They're done, yeah. You've spent the whole point is that. Yeah.
Exactly. They've been off at that stage,
Fair enough. Who was the biggest wuss on Celebrity Hell Week, asks Kev in the van. I'm sure I remember somebody left before even the first challenge.
Oh, I cannot answer that question.
Okay, answer me this question. That fella over there, his name is Cathal Minogue. Now, he plays Junior A hurling.
Yeah.
He's a serious unit, this fella. Mm. Young, fit, strong.
Do you want to have a look at the biceps?
Yeah, I can see him from here.
You know, like, yeah.
Through the jumper, yeah.
Yeah, this fella, I'm benching a good bit.
If Ultimate Hell Week was still on, I'm telling you, he would apply. Yeah. Do you think, looking at him now, he has what it takes?
Sure, everyone has what it takes.
Until, doesn't matter about
until,
size.
Until you get the punch in the face and taste their own blood.
The only thing I don't like is heights.
Okay, that's perfect for you then.
As we throw you out of a helicopter.
Yeah, there's no helicopter jump.
We'll start you off with that straight away. Yeah.
But isn't it true that on Hell Week in particular, that some of the biggest, strongest, most muscular fittest, hardest people come apart at the seams, and a small, you know, short, seemingly, you know, unathletic person has the mental strength. And that's what that show is actually all really all about.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's never the disco muscles. Like, the biggest or fittest people mightn't always do it, only if they have that connection with mental strength as well. Mm. So I find, from my experience of doing selection in the army, running them, doing Hell Week, it's the same type of person gets through, and that's someone who knows who they are.
Right.
They know when they'll struggle, they know they're the good stuff, the bad stuff, and they can deal with it. That's the
I always remember Eamon McGee, very famous Donegal footballer, very strong, hard, strong man. I think he went up into the helicopter, did he, and was like, no, not doing this.
He didn't, but to be fair, like, he did like an absolutely horrendous fear of flying. Like,
yeah.
Horrendous. And he went up into the helicopter, yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Listen, everyone has fears, no matter who you are. Whatever, like, as you said, like, it could be heights for you, it could be flying, it could be water, it could be, you know, feeling suffocated, whatever it is. Like, you know, it's that ability to park that stuff that I imagine gets you selected, trained, successful, and then able to have a career as a ranger or something. Like, you've got to, like, the fears exist, or the weaknesses, in inverted commas, exist. You've just got to be able to deal with them.
Yeah, it does. And fear is a big part of it, because we use fear as a negative almost in the world we live in now. We try and sanitize everyone. Fear is very important. Like, it's a very powerful human reaction.
Yeah.
And if you know when it comes to you, like, then you can aim off for stuff. It gives you a bit more resilience, a bit more power. Like,
yeah, and also understanding it, that it's there for a reason. I mean, I always use the thing, like, I remember dealing with anxiety a while back and learning to accept and encourage anxiety, because think about what anxiety does for you. It stops you walking in front of a car on the road, because it's very important. It's your body telling you that, you know, there's something here to look out for. I mean,
absolutely.
And I would imagine in whatever about that is walking in the road, but in a combat situation or whatever situation you find yourself in, you need that. Like,
absolutely.
Has to be there.
Jesus, yeah. It's like, you know, sixth sense, like, and it just keeps you more absolutely focused, because even in sport, in, like, in business, like, when you're pressurized and you're at the top level of your performance and you're under pressure or stress or whatever you want to do, that's when you do your best work. Like,
there you go.
That's when you're most aware and you're most accurate.
Throw those headphones on your ears there and see if you can hear this. This is a question that's come in from Ken. It's a voice note there, and see if I listen to this one.
What has been the most difficult excursion or experience he's had in Ireland? Mine was climbing Lough na Cuilla in the snow, 2010. That was nearly impossible, but I got there, and it was probably the experience of my life. But yeah, very, very, very tough. Just wondering, what would his be? Thanks a million.
Cheers, Ken. Yeah, so toughest one in Ireland.
Yeah, Lough is tough. Yeah, I did a rescue up there once in the snow. Lough is hard going. I suppose my toughest one, obviously being from the south, is probably Carrow Tool.
Right.
When I trained for selection, because my final test weekend of myself to where I was to do it with full equipment, like, you know, full kit.
Okay, and what's the weight of that ballpark?
I had 55 pounds plus water.
Jesus.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here it was emotional. It was emotional.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? That's what's playing with it, yeah. There's a question from Gillian. Simply says, really enjoyed the series of Uncharted. Showed a different side to you, Ray, but also really loved Ultimate Hell Week. Any chance of a new series of either of them?
I can't answer directly, but I can give you a kind of a half-ass answer. There's a chance of both of them at any time, I'd imagine, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Good enough. Colin says, would Dave and Cahill do the next series of Uncharted if there is one, would Ray consider taking you?
Yeah, come on.
No, listen, what Ray would know about me straight away is that there's no man more in his comfort zone in this country than me, and I'd be a liability from the word go. I mean, Ray, carry me.
Well, especially when I make you wear a Liverpool jersey.
Well, exactly, yes. The ultimate Hell Week.
That's a push over the edge.
I couldn't possibly. Listen, I have a quick fire round. I ask all my guests all these questions, Ray, but I'm going to focus on one, and there's a message, and if you stick those headphones back on, from Niall here. He's warning me off this one.
Dave, a little bit of friendly advice. So Ray Goggins is a ranger. Like, he's as tough as you know what. So just be careful about asking him to wash his legs in the shower. He may give you a slap. He doesn't want to talk about his private shower time.
I don't know, Niall. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to embrace my fear. I'm going to ask Ray Goggins, do you wash your legs in the shower, Ray?
Do I wash my legs in the shower?
Yeah, so when you're in the shower.
Of course I wash my legs.
You do? You're scrubbing away?
Yeah.
Loofah?
No. Come on, keep it real.
That's right. Ray Goggins, thank you so much for coming in. Uncharted with Ray Goggins, the last episode of this particular series, 9:35 tomorrow night. Joe Canning and Thomas Barr doing that. But as you said, there might be a new series of all manner of things happening left, right and centre. Ray, thanks a million, as always.
Dave Moore
on Today FM.